A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Baruch HaSamach Dalid 64a, and there is no B, because it's the last page of the Masechta. Baruch Hashem, Samach Dalid, Siyata Dishmaya. We're thankful to have reached this point. Pagination is page 127. Our topic for today, hopefully, is twofold. Number one, dealing with stargazers, strategies for the stargazers. We'll get an insight into... You turned a little too far. We'll get an insight into how to deal with a person's destiny in a positive way. Also, some insights and blessings regarding those who study Torah as a beautiful conclusion to Masechtas Brachos. Take a look at the Gemara on the third line of the page. The third word is where we will start. Amar Rabbi Avin Alevi. Kaladochek es hashah, anybody who pushes the time, the destiny, he forces his way in. Shadoch kaso. So the time pushes back and doesn't let him do it. We'll see what this means. V'chala nidchem epnei hashah, and a person is willing to be pushed around by the time. Shah nidches miponav. Eventually the time gives way, if he's patient, and he'll get what he needs. Midirabo v'rav Yosef. The Gemara cites the example of Rabba and Rav Yosef, who are known as colleagues, people who were both very great. They were considered chavrusas, so to speak, whether they literally were chavrusas or they just studied on their own and then met for certain discussions. But many of their critical discussions are recorded in the Talmud as great major accomplishments. So these are colleagues, Rabba and Rav Yosef, to Rav Yosef Sinai. The quality of Rav Yosef was like Sinai. What's Sinai? What's that expression? Tradition. He would know all the citations. He knew all of the Torah as it was given at Sinai. For Rabbah, but Rabbah in contrast, Oker Harim is the one who uprooted mountains. What does it mean to uproot mountains? Sheer logic. The power of the brain. You know, he doesn't have all the information in front of him, but if you give him two pieces of information, he could, by logic, deduce everything else in the situation. He can compare things, he can answer things, critical thinking in a major way. We know, for example, that when Moshe was Nifter, so it's this time of year in terms of the Parshios, Vizos HaBracha, so they mourned Moshe for a month. And then it came time for Yehoshua to take over, and he realized that because of the mourning period of 30 days, they had forgotten certain nuances in the halacha. And when they came to Yehoshua and asked him, this rule, that rule, he wasn't quite sure exactly how to rule in these unusual cases. In contrast to total clarity, this was a big problem. So we're told that Kalev ben Yefuna's half-brother, Osniel ben Kenaz was his name, was able to deduce these thousands of nuances in all of Torah. He was able to deduce them from sheer logic. And he was able to prove to everybody and remind them what the halacha was in these cases. So these are two approaches. One is Sinai, one is, I remember it as a tradition from Moshe, I know it, I know the facts, I know the rulings. And the other is to know all the related information so well that you could deduce what the rule must be in this case. I'll give you a primitive example, just because it's Sukkos. You could know the rule is that the wall has to be 10 tefachim, around 40 inches, in order for a sukkah to be kasher. Or you could not know that the rule is 40 inches by a sukkah, but you know that in all related areas, the definition of a wall is 40 inches. You could know that by Erevin, it has to be 10 tefachim. You could know that by Micah, a safety wall, it has to be 10 tefachim. And if you just know in so many areas what the rule is, you could deduce what the rule is by sukkah to define a wall. So it's a primitive example, but I think it's a very clear example of how halacha works. So what happened here, and how we got into this topic with the stargazing, with the time, is appropriate or not? So the Gemara says it's tericha leishaita. They needed a leader. Shochu lahasam, and they sent a message to ask the shaila, who should they appoint? Should they appoint Rabbo? Should they appoint Rav Yosef? Sinai v'oker harim. If you have a Sinai and you have an oker harim, you have a person who's an expert in tradition, or you have a person who's an expert in logic, ezemem kodem, who comes first? Who should you give the leadership role to? That was their shaila. Shochuluhu, and the response was, Sinai kodem. You should give it to tradition. Sheakol tzurichim lemorechitya, because anybody can be logical, but everybody has to ultimately consult with the person who represents the tradition and make sure that his logic doesn't contradict tradition. Great. So according to the answer that was given, they were supposed to give it to Rav Yosef, who was the Sinai. Afal Pike, nevertheless, even though the ruling was in his favor, lo kibbal alav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef did not accept the mantleship, the leadership. He declined. The Amri Lehi Kaldoi, because the astrologers had told him, the stargazers had told him, Malchus Tartin Shinin, you're going to be the leader for 2 years. So he figured, how does my leadership end? Probably I'm going to die. So if I'm going to be a leader for 2 years, I'm not jumping to be leader. So very smart manipulation here, footwork. Molach Rabba Esrin Vitartin Shinin. He told Rabba to precede him, and Rabba ruled for 22 years. Molach Rav Yosef Tartin Shinin Opalga, and the astrologers were right in his destiny. He ruled for 2.5 years. Kolhanach Shini de Molach Rabba, and all those years that Rabba was the leader, Afilu Umna Levese Lokara, even a person to do bloodletting, Rav Yosef would not invite to his home as if he's a dignitary. Instead, he went out, you know, to the barber shop. The red and the white is because they used to do bloodletting. He used to go to the barber shop, so to speak, to have his blood let. He wouldn't have anyone come to the home. No preferential treatment. I'm not king. Doesn't want these years to be counted against him, that he should expire because of this destiny. So it is interesting, by the way, we'll have to discuss this at the end of the next Masechta Shabbos, whether you accept astrologers' information or you don't, but he's not acting in any dramatic way, he's not changing any mitzvah, he declined the mantleship. He led his colleague first, because he had information which he felt had some degree of validity. Some say simply that you're not allowed to consult them, but if they come to you, you're allowed to take the information and use it to your advantage. In any case, what we do see here is two great traditions. Sinai, people whose effort is to acquire the tradition with accuracy, and other people who are Oker Harim, whose effort is to have tremendous logic. And we find that in the yeshiva world today. That's, again, I mentioned, I think, yesterday, be'iyun, the in-depth study, logic, and bekiyus, to just acquire masses of information. I shouldn't say the word just, but it's a different approach. Dafyomi, when you move along quickly, is to a great extent considered bekiyus. Let's drop down to the final section of the Masechta. At the end of a line, about 5 lines from the wide, above the wide, there's a 2 dots at the end of the line, V'omar Rebbe. V'omar Rebbe Oven Halevi. Rebbe Oven Halevi, the same author, source, as we had in the previous statement, he says, Anifta mechaveiro, a person who leaves his friend, Ayom alolich bishalom. Don't say go in peace. Alolich lishalom, go to peace. One of my favorite Gemaras. Shara Yisro, sh'amalo la Moshe. Yisro told his son-in-law Moshe, lech lishalom, go to peace. Olavi Etzliach. He went and he had a lot of Atzloch. He redeemed the Jewish people. He brought them to Har Sinai. He accepted the Torah. He led them for 40 years. He did a lot after that blessing. But David, Sha'amalo la'avshalom, David told Avshalom, Lech Bishalom, go in peace. Halach v'nitle. It was all over. He died shortly thereafter. Because Lishalom means to peace, means you're not there yet. It's the ultimate blessing. You have a lot to accomplish. It sounds derogatory, but it's really a blessing. You have so much in your destiny you could still accomplish. And a person says, Lech Bishalom, go in peace. That means you've already accomplished all that you can. You're already in peace. And that's why we say in the next passage, Hanifta min ames, a person who leaves a dead person, when you depart from the burial, don't say Lech Lishalom, go to peace. That's an insult. You had so much you were supposed to accomplish and you didn't. No, to a dead person you say Lech Bishalom, go in peace. Our attitude is you've accomplished what you were supposed to, you should rest in peace. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chia, the last short line, Hayotze mibeis haknesses v'nichnas leveis hamedrash, if a person can leave the shul and go to the yeshiva, that's the proverbial, but you could just pull out a sefer after davening too, the same concept. A person who studies Torah after he learnt Torah, after he davened, a person who studies Torah after he davened, is a fulfillment of the pasuk, Yelcho meichayel el chayel, go from strength to strength. And the final words of the Masechta, very well known, are focused on the word shalom. Tamidei chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam, Torah scholars bring shalom, peace, into the world. And the blessing, shalom rov lo avei Torah secha, there should be abundant peace to those who love Torah ve'in loma michshal, and there should be no faltering. The final words, Hashem oz la'amo yitein, Hashem granted strength to his nation, referring to Torah, strength. Hashem yivarech asama v'ashalom, Hashem should bless his nation with peace. Hadrin olach Maseches Brachos, we daven for the opportunity to return to Maseches Brachos and study it more thoroughly. Yeshe koach, thank you very much. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we start Maseches Shabbos.